Okay. Okay, today's date is March 7th, 2019. It is currently 6:05. We're going to begin our work session. Present are Bob Ellis, Peter Moore, Roman Diamond, and Tony Rosigno at this time. Okay.
Al, come here for a second.
Joe's running late. He wants us to get, he wants us to get started. I think you can help us the most.
I agree.
Or I need the most help.
Pretty sad. Pretty sad.
We're sure which way.
First up, so we had somebody fall yesterday out front.
On the sidewalk?
Yeah. The bottom line is the guys, obviously, our highway guys, their first priority is roads. I think we've come up with a workaround on this. On days we're supposed to, from now to the end of the season and probably into next season, on days when we're predicted to get significant snowfall during the day, we're going to ask Brandy, the maintenance guy, to work 8 to noon instead of 6 to 10 on those days. Yeah, people might have to put up with a little bit of mopping and vacuuming when they're in their offices, but we'll have coverage if the guys are out plowing so that the walks can get shoveled. That's the public safety has to be first and foremost. Because to try to put out a bid for 1 month left in the year, if you just, one, nobody's going to bid it, and if anybody does bid it, they're going to gouge it.
So, Al, is that, are we able to do that? To have Randy do that?
If you know what, if the union wants to grieve it, let them grieve it. Quite frankly, public safety has to be paramount. Brandy, Joe was going to talk to Brandy about it. I'm not sure if he did today or not, but public safety has to be, obviously the roads need to be cleared.
Right.
They were short wingman yesterday. Jerry was in the truck being a wingman. They didn't have anybody. If they're out plowing roads, the walks here still got to be shoveled, and we got to be able to get people in and out of the building safely. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Tony, what do you think about that? I mean, I agree with the public safety, but do you...
I can't imagine they would grieve anything like that.
I remember, I think that there was a situation where a former town supervisor tried to shovel, and there was a grievance. So I'm just wondering.
Well, I think they were trying to do the work that the town claimed they should be doing. I think that's...
They were trying to, yeah...
Taking away
calling guys. I mean, and like I said, most of the time it's not an issue, but I mean, if it's snowing heavily all day long and the trucks are out on the road, their focus has got to be on the roads, and as it should be.
Right.
On those days, if there's not guys to do it, we need to have somebody here do it. You know, I think the easiest way to cover it is to switch Brandy's. I mean, it's not like it happens.
What was the shift change?
It would go from, he's normally here 6 to 10, he'd be here 8 to noon. And that way,
it's not going to be an everyday situation.
Yeah, so it's not going to be. It's going to be. I mean, this year maybe it happened 5-6 times total where they needed to be shoveled in the afternoon. So it's not a.
Okay.
It's not a huge. I think that's the best way to handle it.
Good.
Have you talked to Brandy about it or no?
I don't know. Joe was going to. It's a personnel thing. I left that to Joe to.
I just didn't know if you had spoken with Joe.
I have not gotten an update on that today.
Okay.
I don't know what Constables is about. I don't know what the local waterfront redevelopment plan is. If he's doing a committee for that, I'm not sure what his plan is there. Community development building grant 5-year plan. So Joe has been working with the Northwest, Cody, and Plainville Fire Districts. We're going to modify our 5-year community development plan and put in a project. So right now, take a big map out. Whole Northwest area town from 370 North to County Line Road and from Fenner Road west to the county line has one working dry hydrant for 19 square miles of the town. There's 3 other ones that are damaged that don't work. So we're going to put in for a community development. This is the only area of the town that's eligible for community development funding, so this is a great project to use towards community development funding. So we put a project together to fix the three hydrants that are broken, install four more hydrants. The fire districts have said, is Joe's meeting with them is to finalize an agreement or try to hammer out an agreement on Tuesday to bring back to the board. They're going to pay the match. I'll put the contract documents together and get the bid out and supervise the contractor. And then the fire department will pay the match on the
grant. We would hire a contractor to install the...
It's prevailing wage rate. Yeah, you're going to have to...
Gotcha.
It's not something I mean, we could... I mean, I don't know if Jerry's got the time more than anything to put our guys on it. So I think it's best to...
Gotcha.
Yeah, best to contract it. So that's what community development is. You'll see there's a resolution on the agenda to set a public hearing for the next meeting. After the public hearing, we'll have two resolutions, one to approve amending the five-year plan to include this project for 2019, and one to...
to the bids.
Approve the application. I have the application handwritten. Actually, I have Amy coming in tomorrow morning to type it up for me. As soon as I have it, I don't know if anybody's going to read my chicken scratch. So as soon as it's typed, I'll email it on to everybody so you can review it.
Perfect.
Survey for Patchett Road and Mott Road. Two of the projects that we had been want to try to get done this year with the pavement management plan is the widening of Patchett Road, which is going to be funded by the developer of Collington Point East, and reconstruction on Mott Road. I don't know if we'll have the budget to do the whole thing this year, but if we could do east or west side of Dexter Parkway this year and the other side of the next year, it might be a possibility. But either way, to do those projects, we do need survey. So here's our catch-22. The highway department isn't supposed to spend any money out of the road maintenance and construction funds until the what's the form? I can't even think of the Gene, what's the name of the form? That
286.
There we go. The 286 form.
More than half of the towns ignore that, but it is still the law.
It's the law, so we do things by the law. So I think we would have an opportunity. Tony will have to. We could authorize Jerry for these. What are in the whole grand scheme of things relative to sign the contracts to have the surveys done by resolution out of the road maintenance budget with the final 286 form to be approved at a later date once the final pavement management plan is completed. The way the weather's been, we're just not in a position to roll that out yet. But at the same time, I'd like to get the surveyors under contract, and I have a completion deadline of April 15th on these because once we get the survey back, there's quite a bit of work out of my office's side to actually do the contract drawings and specs. So there's an urgency from a time standpoint to get these guys under contract, get it on their calendars, and you know, hopefully it stops snowing and we can get the utilities all located and get them out there the first week in April. So thoughts, Tony, on that 286 form? Just do a resolution like that authorizing Jerry to sign the contracts. The low bidder for both roads was Moore Land Surveying, who's out of Rome. Patchett Road was $6,590 and Mott Road was $4,950. We got four quotes, so we're well within our procurement requirements.
Just as a side, no relation. More.
Sure.
Oh.
I want any of those conspiracy theorists to be chomping at the bit.
Actually, that this gentleman was referred to me by Clough Harbor and Associates. They have used him on several projects lately and speak very highly of him, of his work, and quite frankly, his prices are. Well, you can see the numbers.
Yeah. That's amazing, the difference. Actually,
yeah.
Delta engineers, look at that.
Yeah,
four times.
The big firms just can't compete with these little. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm assuming this guy is one guy that right. goes out and does the field work, and then comes back and produces the map in his office, and doesn't have any staff and doesn't have any overhead. Right. And that's how he's able to do it for those rates.
So this resolution was written.
Let's take a stab at this right now. So this next thing I was gonna. Well, we'll cover this. So we'll do resolution F. Motion by.
Well, F is there. F is there already.
G. Second by. That the highway superintendent be authorized to sign the contracts with Moore and Surveying for the Patchett Road.
There you go.
And Mott Road Surveys. For a total amount of
okay.
$66 plus $49, $10,600, $11,500. Everybody else get that too?
Yep.
$11,500. Yeah. Or no, that's a 90. Yeah, 40, 90. So 40. 0, 14, 6, 9, 15, 7, 11, 5, 40.
What's the motion related to?
The survey. So because we don't have the 286 highway expenditure form to get together yet. We haven't hammered out the pavement management plan for 2019. We got these survey quotes, which would be paid for out of the road maintenance and construction budget. I would like to get these guys under contract. I put a completion deadline of April 15th on the RFP for the surveyor. So I'd like to get them authorized to get this work on their calendar so as soon as the snow is gone, they can do the field work and get us a map back. Because there's quite a few hours from my office to do the plans and specs for both of these jobs.
Is he surveying all of Mott Road?
All of Mott Road. He's going to do it all. I mean, I can't see mobilizing him twice to do it all. And then if we have money, we'll do the whole thing. If we don't, we'll do half this year, half next year type thing.
Gotcha.
Okay. And the money to be paid out of our construction budget.
Now, I have not gotten to talk to Jerry about this yet because I didn't see him today. But with that being said, he's the one that said he wanted to get the survey RFPs done. So, and if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to sign it. That's the bottom line. He's authorized to
Yeah. He'll have his choice.
Yeah. So we covered. Oh, Highland Meadows Phase 3A. We're going to table E. We have not received the securities from the developer yet. I don't know if Tony's gotten any.
The letter of credit's on its way.
Yeah, we just haven't.
We haven't received it.
We should probably wait until the. I talked to Mario's partner, Dan, before the meeting, and he said it doesn't make a difference to them if we wait until the 21st, which I think is probably the best thing to do.
Because Mario called me and said, can we get it? He asked me if we could do it tonight. And because Southeast Bank's letter, they agreed to do it, but they just haven't physically gotten it out yet. So I said, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's up to, I mean, however you guys want to proceed.
I don't know, is there waiting 2 weeks makes a difference one way or the other?
I was going to say, I can't see him poking a hole to start a foundation right now.
Why don't we just wait and table it?
Sounds good.
I'd like to have that in our hands.
Yeah, that's fine. So we're going to table E. We can still move forward with C and D, setting the amount of the securities, but we're going to table the dedication.
Did he bring a check in for the other stuff? He was supposed to bring a check in for the fees.
I think he did, yeah. I think he did. Dave will be here. We'll verify with him, but I believe he did. Yeah, actually, I know he did.
Including the park fees.
That's what, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, he did.
Park fees, yes.
So we covered everything except constables and local waterfront redevelopment plan, Joe. So I'll turn it back over to you on that. Those two.
Yeah. You guys are aware that this has to go to the planning board for action before you can take that case.
Actually, the way the code reads is the town board is supposed to take dedication before the final plat is filed. So,
until I sign that, it's not filed.
Exactly.
Here's what has to happen.
Yes.
When that was originally approved, okay, preliminary, the planning board put a condition on them that they could not construct one cell or construct one house beyond 60 units, which was phase one, phase two, until that road was completed.
Into Giddings Crest.
To Giddings Crest. That was our way of ensuring that road would be completed. So in order to put me in a position to sign the plats for them to move forward with these lots, we have to remove that condition through resolution. And quite frankly, there's a number of us that are trying to figure out what has dramatically changed that would change our position on putting that in place in the first place. Nothing.
Right.
Other than trying to accommodate a request. So I just want you to be aware there's a possibility that after we have our meeting and discussion, that we might not remove that, and if we don't remove it, nothing gets done until the normal course of how it should have played out occurs. I mean, you're talking about probably a 45-day window difference at best from when he can do it according to the preliminary plat and the way it's laid out versus starting something now. It's almost like we put procedures and codes in place, and then at times we find ways to not always follow them. So we're thinking about it. I'm just giving you a heads up. Nothing against Mario at all, but we've got members on that board that want to understand what's changed. We would remove that. I mean, hypothetically, think about this. We go ahead and remove it, sign the plat. You guys are putting security in place. They start building home, and then somehow Mario goes away. he's not going to. But say he did, and the road's not built. So you're saying, Al, I guess that this bond and stuff you put in place is going to allow you to hire someone to finish the road.
So
meanwhile, you've got people waiting for occupancy. Or actually, they can take occupancy if we've gone that far.
No.
No, they can't, because the COs won't be.
Yeah, the only way.
The developer's gone.
The only way that I would consider, and my letter, as you'll note, did not recommend it. I just recommended with the securities amounts, not that you take dedication. The developer asked to put this on, and I put it on, and I wanted to discuss it with the board because it's not my decision to make. With that being said, the developer has invested significant resources in constructing the rest of the road. They started last fall. As we all know, last fall was really wet, and they just did not get the rest of the pipe work done because of the weather conditions that they were up against. They've been working on it over the winter. Right now, all the sewers in, all of it has not been tested. They were doing bench wells yesterday and today. I anticipate that they'll call and want to test it beginning of next week. They have some drainage left to do, and then the roadway under drains and the sub base for the road, but we're, you know, the asphalt, let's face it, the asphalt plants aren't opening up until earliest first week in April. So theoretically, they could have everything in place and the stone in place and be ready to go as soon as the asphalt plants open, but we're, you know, we're at earliest 3 weeks from the asphalt plants open. I mean, that's just the way the weather is right now. There's significant frost depth right now. Up to, I've seen them taking 2 foot pieces of frost out of the ground. So it's going to be a bit before that thaws. I would say that 3 weeks is probably earliest.
Very generous.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to follow the advice of our planning board and the procedures they put in place, though, right?
I am too.
Why wouldn't you? You know, what is the...
I'm just saying, I'll tell you another thing from my perspective. I'm only speaking for myself. When we have an issue that our planning board engineer, i.e. the town engineer, always provides us a letter. And this would be the first letter he's ever provided us that didn't offer an opinion. It just stated... That tells me he's not totally comfortable with advising the board to move forward.
Are you comfortable? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, you're here.
I wouldn't say it's uncomfortable, but you know how I am. I like to do things by the book.
Then
the
planning board.
The planning board put a contingency in place until the planning board waives that contingency.
And
that's just where I'm at. I mean, that's the bottom line.
You
until
shouldn't
the,
change your way of doing business.
And we may end up doing that next Thursday. We may not.
Yeah, I mean, until the planning board.
So it's good. All right. So we're all in agreement.
Yeah, they're in front of the planning board on Thursday.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. I mean,
Mario's on our agenda.
If he can convince you, great.
Yeah, I mean, right. There's. Quite frankly, there isn't 60 lots built on yet there because they still have 11 lots remaining in phase two. So the condition was no more than 60 homes built, I believe is how it read.
Right.
Before the connecting road to Giddings Trail is complete. So at this point in time, there's a potential for that to happen. Because they could build, because this section has 16 lots in it, and there's 11 left. So, then if phase two is all built out, completely built out, that takes them to 60. So, theoretically, they could be 16 lots over the, or 16 homes over the condition that was set by the planning board. So,
well, why don't we just wait to hear back from the planning board?
The reality is that 15 lots are more saleable than the
mm-hmm. The table.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack.
And we added one.
Yeah.
Joe,
you want to switch?
Can you read my scratch?
Anyway, the highway superintendent be authorized to sign the contracts with more land surveying. For the Patchett Road and Mott Road surveys for a total amount of $11,540 to be paid out of the highway construction budget. That's the name of the company, More Land Surveying.
It's M-O-O-R-E.
Can you start that up?
You've already
covered that.
All right, that's cool. If you guys are comfortable with it.
We have no signers.
Okay.
Table E. Okay. Joe, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Does that take care of... are we two constables and local waterfront redevelopment plan?
We didn't do either of those two.
Yeah, those
okay.
two.
Well, let's do constables. This was a request that was made by both our town justices concerning security for their court. As you recall, last year we added security for DA nights for our courts. In their research, they realized that I think we're the only court in Onondaga County that doesn't have security every court night. And both judges were on the same page. And did I forward that letter to you as far as they're concerned? And they recommended that we consider an option of hiring constables. I met with a gentleman, I'm blanking on his name, who's in charge of an area constable association. And he gave me the ins and outs of establishing a constabulary. We would adopt a local law which would empower these individuals to provide such services as we deem necessary. They would be directed by the courts as far as security details, and by typically by supervisor of the town. They're similar to a police agency in that they can write tickets and make arrests if they witness a crime. And different municipalities use them at different for different things. Theoretically, you know, they could be involved in speed patrols. They could be involved in parking violations on our streets in the winter as far as ripping tickets for people that violate our parking law. They could be involved in, ripping tickets for people that park in areas banned during the Radisson garage sale. But typically... they are involved in providing security for board meetings and court proceedings. They can also serve, I believe, they can also serve warrants.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
They can serve warrants. So they might be of use to our code enforcement office as well.
So is the intention for the constables to replace existing security going forward in the future?
It's possible. It's possible. The difference in cost is minimal. I had a breakdown. I don't have it here. I think the difference was inside of $1,000, depending on how you want to use them. If they were involved in ripping tickets, for example, for violations, the revenue generated from those types of violations might pay for some of those salaries.
They cannot do search warrants.
They can't
or arrest warrants.
They can't do arrest warrants, but they can serve.
Things are papers.
Papers.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is, you know, this is the first time we're talking about it. I'll forward you some additional information, the specific law for establishing constables, I think I did forward you guys. So read that over.
Can you forward it again?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think we sent the town a Clay law.
Yes.
Everybody. So it's got a list of all the things they can do. look through there and say, yeah, well, you know, we don't want to do this one, or we, I mean, there's no sense reinventing the wheel. We can use that as a local law, and if all the things that Clay's has that we want to have, we can just adopt that.
Is this a civil service position?
No, it's a town. Well, I don't know if they classify it civil service or not. I'm not sure.
So how do we go about vetting candidates?
Because I want to make sure whoever we get is a high-quality candidate. You know, this is a sensitive position. So a civil service at least has some kind of screening.
Are you thinking more than one?
Well, I think so, just in case, you know, you had, you know, someone was sick, you'd want them to fill in, or someone was on vacation, or someone was out. But it's pretty, like, this is just the initial, just to let the public know we're thinking about it. Take a look at the letter that I sent you and the law, and if you need that law, Clay's law, again, I'll send that as well.
That would be great.
Yep.
All right, and one more time.
And the fee was similar to what?
Very similar. You know,
are we hiring them as an individual?
Yes, they would be individual employees of the town. They would have an hourly rate. And, you know, we could bring them in for special duties, special responsibilities. It's as close to, you know, we don't, obviously in the town we don't have a police force, and we're frustrated at times because we have a hard time enforcing our code unless we get assistance from either the county or the troopers. And as you know, both agencies are very busy. And in this regard, we would have a more personalized service.
We'd be hiring full-time, not part-time employees?
No, they'd be part-time.
They'd be part-time, okay.
That was my question.
Nope, no benefits, under 40 hours. All right, that's all I've got so far on that. I'll provide you more. The Local Waterfront Redevelopment Plan, also known as an LWRP. An LWRP is important for communities that have opportunities for commercial redevelopment on a waterway or have significant shoreline. And I think this town has both. We have 31 miles of waterfront from Cross Lake to the Oswego River. It turns into the Oswego River, Three Rivers. Yeah, so 31 miles. And within our boundaries, we have a village that actually does, it doesn't technically have an LWRP. It has a downtown redevelopment plan that was utilized as an LWRP, which opened up some funding. And that's what LWRPs allow for. It allows a municipality to take a step back and do an analysis on its waterfront to see if there are economic opportunities, to hear from our residents on what they would like to see as far as waterfront development, recreational opportunities. Typically, you know, I'll give you an example. We do not have a municipal boat launch west of Lock 24. Lock 24 is the second busiest lock on the canal. So we have, that might be an opportunity for us to consider in an LWRP. When you have an LWRP, it opens the floodgates for development grants, matching grants. And it just shows whatever agency you're applying to that you have a well thought out plan that the public has had significant input on. And when the grant matches up with your goals in the LWRP, it makes it a lot easier to access grants. And like I say, coming from the village, we did massive amounts of waterfront redevelopment, and I think that's one of the reasons why the village has experienced the renaissance it has over the last 15 or 20 years. You know, we built walls, we put power and water on those walls, we built an amphitheater, you know, we put trails in place. We did a lot of things took advantage of a lot of grants, and I'd like to see the town look in that direction. This is something that would involve our planning board, members of the community. This is not a top-down driven plan. This is, I wouldn't say it's as involved as the club, but it's certainly, you know, we would invite our neighbors from the village to come in and make comments and ask them and give them an opportunity to provide some input on what we might consider in the LWRP. We would have representatives of businesses. We'd have first responding agencies to make sure that what we were planning was consistent with their emergency response times. I mean, this, and it's fun. This is one of those things that, you know, you can take some time, tap into the to what the public's looking for, what it would like to see on our 31 miles of waterfront. And what I would do is maybe set up an ad hoc committee to determine how big of a committee we would want to put together and start moving forward. Certainly there'd be heavy representation from our planning board, our code enforcement office, because one of the things that we learned in the village was it's nice to have a plan, but a lot of plans end up on shelves collecting dust if those plans don't match up with your code. And so what the village did is it took that EDR plan, we also called it an EDR plan, and we codified a lot of those recommendations, and we made sure that what was spelled out could actually be doable in the village. And you're seeing that play out now. You're seeing that play out on Lock Street. You're seeing that partially play out when we made improvements on Marble Street. So it's definitely, I think, worth our effort. There are grants available for us to apply for to help fund this. Typically, you go to a professional agency to guide you through it because it can be a complicated system. I've already sat down and talked with Plumlee Engineering. They helped design, I believe, either the Three Rivers or Brewerton's waterfront development. I think they helped Cicero. They're right down the street, highly respected. And I think, Al, you're very familiar with Plumlee, and so that might be a recommendation that I make. It's a professional service. We don't necessarily have to bid it. We could RFP it to see, you know, who's out there, who might want to participate. We kind of did that in the village, and it happened to be EDR, Environmental Design and Research, out of Syracuse, for our downtown redevelopment plan. But just exciting.
It's very exciting. Yeah. One thing I'd ask is maybe we could have Tony Birkinshaw sit on this committee as well. We can somehow involve Parks and Recreation and our riverfront. There might be a program or something that comes up that really could highlight the town of Lysander there as well.
Sure. Sure. I mean, so, you know, just to share some neat information, if you this summer take a walk on any of the trails or spend some time on the island looking at the wall, on the southwest side of the canal, where we put power and water, those big boats, a lot of those boats are called loopers. And a looper is a person that's on a journey that's basically going down the Mississippi, around Florida, up the intercoastal, up the Hudson, and back cutting across the Great Lakes. That's called the Great Loop. And a ton of retirees engage in it, and Baldwinsville's a premier stop.
Loopers, that's awesome.
Yeah, so on any given week, you can look at that wall and you'll see millions of dollars worth of boats, and they lay up in Baldwinsville, some of them for 3, 4, 5 days, yeah. Because
good for the economy.
Yeah, because they want to catch a concert, or they want to get on dry land and maybe spend a night at the Red Mill Inn. But an LWRP is fun. It's something as a community we can do together. It's not controversial. It's nothing. It's just, what do we got here? We get a chance to take a look at our resource in the river system. So that's basically the LWRP. Maybe I'll next meeting have an ad hoc committee just to throw some ideas out, and then you guys can chime in as far as what you would like to see as a committee. But certainly we would, I think, at the very least, need representation from our codes department, from our planning board. Our engineer should sit on that. And then business owners.
Sure.
And residents. And then the beauty of it is, so once you establish the committee, you can invite people. You can invite, what's the boating company? Great Lakes or
Mid Lakes.
Mid Lakes. Yeah. So people that are already doing business on the canal, what do we need to do to have to have you come to Baldwinsville or have you come through Baldwinsville? You can invite the city of Syracuse and see if we can tie into what's going on Onondaga Lake and the redevelopment of the Inner Harbor. You know, wouldn't it be great if people came to Baldwinsville, hopped on a boat, and went shopping at the mall via boat, or went to a concert from Baldwinsville, spent the night in Baldwinsville, went to a concert, and came back and stayed in Beeville. I mean, that's the kind of fun stuff that, now that things are taking shape along Onondaga Lake, you know, I think there's huge opportunity for us. All right. Then CDBG 5-year plan. This is something really cool that I've been working on over the last couple weeks. CDBG money's development block grant, community development block grants. They're federal dollars that are administered through the county. And again, going up back on my experience in the village of Baldwinsville, we tapped into a ton of those resources for park improvements, sidewalk replacement, any number of programs. And we were very successful in getting our hands on those funds. It's based on need. So it's based on census data and income. And there are very few places in this town that are eligible for CDBG grant requests. Just so happens that our area is in the northwest corner of the town. It's Plainville Road from 370 up to County Line Road, over to East Mud Lake Road, back down to 370. It's that block. We don't have a lot of infrastructure. We have some culvert work that we might be able to do. But in sitting on the Public Safety Committee, which, as you guys know, is all of our first responders, they meet once a month, there are real needs in that area. And when I say needs, there are, you know, there's obviously no municipal water up there. And right now in my research, I have found that we have one dry hydrant serving 19 square miles. There's a number of dry hydrants that are broken and need to be fixed. There's a number of opportunities where ponds exist where we could put new dry hydrants. And I called CDBG and I asked them if we could go after funding for dry hydrants. And they said, absolutely. That serves the community. Everybody benefits from those types of infrastructure projects. I've been talking to Cody, I've been talking to Plainville, and I've been talking to the Northwest Fire District. Those are the three fire departments that are in that area. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting with Plainville on Tuesday, and I'm meeting with the three altogether on Wednesday night to let them know about the research that Al and I have engaged in working. We're working with Mr. Pitts in identifying how many hydrants do we have now identified as far as potential sites?
Four new sites, three repairs.
So seven dry hydrants. Now, CDBG money comes in two sizes now. It used to be, back in the day, it was $100,000. You can apply up to $100,000, and there are 25% matches. Then Fed started cutting that program, and it got down to $50,000. I just got a letter from our county executive saying that they want to have two options for municipalities, two levels of projects to apply for, $50,000 projects and $140,000 projects. And because this is a first application for our fire departments, and, you know, I don't want anybody to feel rushed, we're going to apply, I think, initially for a $50,000 grant. If this is successful, I see this as an opportunity to continue to provide resources for fire protection in that quadrant of the town. starting with dry hydrants, fixing the dry hydrants that are there, adding dry hydrants. We've talked to at least one landowner who's in favor of us tapping into a very large pond. There's another landowner that we still have to touch base with. The other option is, once these are in place, if we can put together a plan that would consider even water storage, large water storage containers underground that just hold 10,000 gallons of water and act as reservoirs all throughout that area. Because again, the chances of having municipal water run the total lengths of those roads and us having hydrants out there in the near future is it's not realistic. But if we could add resources for fire protection, and once they're there forever. It's a tremendous opportunity for us to tap into resources that this town, I don't think, has ever considered. And I'm excited to meet with those fire departments this week. We also made the announcements. I had the opportunity to go to Onondaga County legislative breakfast, where all the first responding agencies in the county were invited to make their case to state and local officials on their needs. And I had an opportunity to share with them, or those municipalities, the same thought. The first thing that every fire department needs to do is go to their town or their village and determine where those areas of need are mapped out. And if you are in one of those, contact your electeds, set up a meeting, and come up with a plan to apply for those grants. A lot of these grants go for sidewalks, a lot of these grants go for park improvements, but really I think my first responsibility to the residents of Lysander is public safety. So if we can start improving response times, water availability, I don't know any better way to be spending those types of funds. Now there's a 25% match, so they, you know, anybody applying for these grants need to consider that. But again, grant dollars, there's, you know, they don't grow on grant trees. It's our tax dollars, but we're Albany's taking our tax dollars. I think it'd be great if we could get some of the
this is actually federal money.
CDBG. Yeah, I'm sorry, I mentioned that. So DC is taking our money, and we're getting some of our federal tax dollars back.
We're still taking our money.
I was right the first time. I'm still taking our money. But no, so I'll let you know on that. Tonight, I guess, are we doing it tonight? Are we setting a public hearing tonight? We're setting the public hearing for CDBG, because when we come up with these projects, we share them with the community. We allow the community to give us feedback on the projects. We adopt a five-year plan. Once the five-year plan's adopted, then it's just put your best application in and see if we get there. Not, there's a process that we have to go through. Nothing's promised, but I think this is a worthy effort to engage in.
Very nice.
That's it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
What do we got? 5 minutes? Looks good. Okay.
Furniture moving.
I think you just... How do you pause it? The side button or the middle? The red button.